Welcome to the Hour of Truth. I got Phil here and Brad, and welcome.
Hey,
goodness
everybody.
Gracious.
Hey, y'all.
We were sitting here batting around. They were. I was trying to get a word in edgewise, and I couldn't. But that's okay.
I apologize.
About, we're watching some episodes of The Walking Dead yesterday, and the camera comes up on a sign that says whatever the name, Southern Baptist Church, and then they go in into the church where there are a couple of zombies.
Of course.
And there's Jesus sitting there hanging on a cross, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, that don't look like any Southern Baptist church I ever went in.
Nope.
And that, you know, they do so much to make, you know, the special effects where the zombies get it in the head with blades and bullets and all that stuff work. We think it would get the church right, you know, but
not a priority.
No, and the sad thing is, and you know, there's always, I guess, how you judge how beneficial these shows are or not, but it is what it is. It's a zombie apocalypse show, so what, you know? What is not good about it is how they presented what happened at that church, and then afterwards, these people clearly had no idea who God was. The writers clearly had no idea who God was. And all these people prayed, and none of the prayers got delivered on. Instead, an avalanche of really bad stuff happens, and the girl, the woman, is praying for her, Carol, praying for her daughter to be found.
They found her.
That prayer was the most troubling prayer of all, because she's like, you can punish me. It's like bargaining, you know, with God and just having no idea who she's talking to. It's you know, the danger in all that is how subtle all that was. Until I was like watching the episode for the third or fourth time. And it just occurred to me that, you know, this is really, really ugly. And a real misrepresentation of who our God is. And if there's a tragedy in the there's a tragedy in the subtlety in which that just blows by people, and if there's harm that show does, that would be it. But, you know, I digress.
All right, so you start out saying they still got Jesus on a cross, which obviously is a Roman Catholic thing. Why is that so bad? Because, and you were in Hebrews, one of y'all, you know, Christ suffered once for sin.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered once. He died once. He dies no more. He paid for all sin.
Don't need to keep offering those sacrifices on
him. Yeah, and the Catholics have him perpetually dying. This is not right. He's perpetually alive.
That's
he
right.
is our life. But if you follow that out, then the idea of penance, which is what Carol, the character Carol, was doing, you know, you can do this to me if you'll do that for my daughter.
Yeah.
There's no payoff. I mean, that just flies in the face of a God of grace and mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it kind of, in that sense, I guess I'm glad they still had him on the cross.
Yeah. Just and Rick's son gets shot, and you know, just an avalanche of stuff.
Now, before you keep going, I haven't seen season 3, Paul.
That wasn't season 3.
I know, but I can
see.
I can see which way the wind's blowing here.
We're not going to make this an hour of The Walking Dead, but it was just a thing that I happened to notice, and I thought maybe it was worth talking about a little bit.
But you know, there is something in that. Those shows that we've watched, though,
yeah,
that is interesting. So we know that they got a lot of these things. This, you know, they paid a lot of attention to detail, as you said, as far as getting these things going. But one of the things is they didn't nail down Christianity at all.
No.
Not one bit. And we see that they don't have a clue. But what you do see is, as we watch the show, Paul, does not the Lord reveal us truth-isms that line up with his word? And these writers don't have any idea.
Yeah.
But that's God's way of revealing things to us through whatever. You know, because he's good.
Well, he's a redeemer. He's able to... He can redeem a messed up TV show. He can redeem... You know, you and me were talking about some pretty serious boo-boos we've made along the way, and how he's not only content to not cast us off, or even just to pull us through whatever we did or didn't do, but moving forward from that, that can become... Our mistakes can become foundational for something really good for us and the people around us. He's a redeemer.
Yeah, and it kind of goes to the Titus, to the pure, all things are pure. I mean, look, I mean, you can watch, I mean, you know, I'm coming from the perspective of, you know, God's, you can't limit it on God or what he can show you.
Or how.
Or through what. It actually flies in the face of, man, you know, I'm watching this movie. And it flew in the face of Christianity, period, I would say, or the legalism of it, let me say. And there's just people being the world and of the world. But in the movie, it still showed me, God showed me something through it. He showed me a lesson. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. I mean, this guy had tribulation after tribulation. This movie was not all about Christianity or anything, but he had tribulation, and he pushed through it, and at the end he came out on top. You know, and so, but if you looked at it from the fleshly mind, the carnal mind, which I brought up a little bit, all you would see was the offense of, oh, this is bad stuff. You would never see with the Spirit and see what the Lord can show you even through a movie like that. You know what I'm saying? And it is
a lot of to the pure, all things are pure. And the producers never intended to put a spiritual message in there, but sometimes to the viewer who's the Lord's.
I went about 5 years. I didn't have a TV in my house. I didn't think I should. Didn't watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely. And my reasoning was that this was the world and I should just put it away. And, you know, and for, I'm sure there are people that would be the Lord's way for them. That's fine. But now I can watch or read whatever. And like you're saying, to the pure, all things are pure. Even like the most, you think like Old Yeller, you know, you think a wholesome movie. There's no skin in it, nothing like that. But if you look at even like the old Disney stuff, the way the parents treat their kids and all, it's all this stuff flies in the face of the gospel. All of it. It's just the world we're in.
But I'm going from the other perspective. No matter how that you might think it is, or, you know, from the legalistic, the carnal mind, the judgment, the Lord's not limited to showing me anything, in any kind of movie. I mean, this was, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to focus on the garbage. The world is full of its teaching. And quite frankly, if we're going to be going out in the world, you know, I'm not saying focus on the garbage, but the Lord can minister through anything. You know what I'm saying?
You're in this world, but you're in the world. But because your mind belongs to the Lord, you're not of the world. And so the things that go on around you, to you, because the Spirit's in you, you're not going to see and interpret the way the people around you do. And the Lord's free to do that in us.
An example, a good example is if we go to the Acts of the Apostles, where Paul the Apostle went and said, he didn't go there and say, oh my gosh, look at these guys following all these idols and these statues. Oh my goodness. What sinners. No, he went in there and seen an image that said,
to the unknown God.
And he goes, opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you who this unknown God is, and starts preaching the gospel. See, and that's the mindset. And when he shows us stuff in shows that are just a carnal show, it's just a show. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the Lord still, you can use that just as that unknown God's tribute or the stamp or whatever you had, still use that to what? Preach the gospel and to show God's word and light. And use that anyways. And that's what, you know, that's what I'm saying.
In the world, but not of the world.
Right, exactly.
Because God's a redeemer and he's good, he'll take the things that are of the world and let you use it for his benefit.
Which is kind of what Scripture means when it says that Jesus spoiled and made an open show of...
Spoiled principalities and...
Yeah.
And made a show of them openly?
Openly.
At the cross.
Yeah. Is when you can... You take a thing of the world that was, you know, meant... Who knows what it was meant to do. is a thing that the principality and power of the darkness could use to perpetuate darkness. But the Lord...
Flip that on his head.
Turns it on his head, and that stuff becomes profitable, a ministering tool to the person who is of a ready mind to be his minister.
Absolutely.
And it's just... it's very, very interesting. I was thinking about... First Corinthians 6 again, and there are a couple of key verses in there. The first one would be 6:12. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, nothing's going to rule me. I'm going to be the ruler of what goes on here, for Lord's sake.
Yeah, even a thing that would be positive. I mean, I don't know, exercise. Probably a good thing. Doesn't have great spiritual profit, and I'm sure if you wanted to exercise, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that begins taking a priority starts edging out God. That's what he's saying. Not to be brought under the power of any.
The following verse could easily... It just is a list of some of the things that some people let rule them. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. Now, it could well say, you know, cigarettes or pipe tobacco or, you know, any other kind of thing. But the example there is meats. And he talks about...
Because of the unclean meat back in the dietary law.
Right.
And he's describing... There's a difference here that what he's saying is not your fleshly body, but the body we dwell in by faith, which is Jesus here.
Yeah.
He's about to put a distinction here between the two.
Yeah.
But he is bringing up fornication as something about the spirit that's about to come about.
Right. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. And let's see. Know ye not your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, he saith, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. You know, this is clearly about the body of Christ. And in fornication, you actually defile the whole body. And
the body of Christ.
That body of Christ. And you make it one with a harlot. So that's there are all kinds of consequences from that that aren't good. Because it's going to the scoffers will say, see, they're all like that. They say one thing, they do another. And what can you say about
this? At some level, we are all like that.
Yeah, we are.
Everybody's hitting the mark.
So, but it brings open shame on the body, and that's a problem. And
well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Go ahead, Paulie.
What know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now that's the one that gets my attention with the next one. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. The price was His Son. He has the authority to do with you, and righteous authority to do with you anything He pleases.
And if you're a servant, you're going to agree with that and be okay with that.
Yeah. Now, what He has chosen to do is to offer you the opportunity. Set you up in front of Him and given you the opportunity to learn how to please Him, to have His Word richly dwell in you, to have it to operate under its cleansing and reconciling effectiveness. He's offered you reconciliation with Himself and the opportunity to learn how to please Him. Doesn't get any better than that.
To do what you're made to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really, that's essentially what it is. He's reconciling the
that's
place
when
where you
natural order of things is being
doing
restored.
What you're made to do.
I was made to
serve
Him, to please Him,
absolutely.
To seek Him first and His righteousness.
You know, Paul, I have something to ask, and I say this from a place of not knowing. I think it hits on some things, but where it says flee fornication, one with fornication is when you go outside of you join yourself with another spirit, not Christ.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? So I mean the same as and that happens through you know. But what I but the other thing is
they don't see all the hand signals.
Right. But the other thing that I'm saying here is also, I mean, how about taking His name in vain as one of these things? I mean, where you take on His name, but yet you go do your own thing.
Right.
Yet you go and join yourself to another spirit, demonic spirit, or a spirit of just of the world.
Well, that's what,
not actual, you know, not His.
That's what James said. Right, you adulterers and adulteresses.
Exactly.
Friendship with the world is enmity with God. That's fornication.
And what you have... what was I going to say? Man, I've been losing thought all day long, man.
Hate it when that happened.
Yeah, I think you said I'm...
Well, he's gone, he's lost. I'm in verse 19. This is still 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Okay, I'm not my own. I understand. I think I understand that. But this... Know you not that your body, I mean, casual reading, this looks like it's talking about my physical body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
It's not.
And yet,
I'm sorry.
Well, but I am asking a question. What I understand about this body that I live in, it's formed from a cursed dust or a cursed earth.
Mm.
So this body, my physical self, is not redeemable.
Mm.
So, okay, now help me out, Phil.
Okay, so what you have is you have, you are what, though? By faith, where do you dwell?
I'm a member of Christ's body.
Christ's body. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. Now, Christ's body was what? The temple of the Holy Ghost.
The church. Christ's body is the church.
Right. And not, I mean, when he walked in the fullness. He was, the Spirit hit him. It came down like a dove. He was baptized in it. I mean, he walked it out. I mean, so his body was perfect without sin. Ours isn't. We have sin.
This is that's the verse. That,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That leads to Pentecostal holiness. Can you request here? Could you do like an amplified Bible reading of this to read this verse? And I hope I'm not.
Look. No, I'm really actually glad we're hitting this, because this is where a lot of legalism comes into play about this carnal body. No, it's Jesus' body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which we dwell in by faith.
Right.
Okay, so but this is, it's talking about your soul joining with His Spirit. To back to your purpose before sin came on the world, which was to serve Him.
Yeah, now you're alive again because your spirit's are joined with Christ.
Right.
His life is now your life.
Right. And this body is flesh. This physical body, and I'm pointing to my flesh, guys, yeah, is cursed. It's going
to
go down.
To be done with.
Right. It's going to die. It's going to die. But what he's talking about here is people going out and joining themselves with another spirit. Whether it be drunkenness, whether it be fornication, which because you go and you sleep with somebody and then you take on them. You take on what they have, what they've been through.
And it can be the gift that keeps on giving.
You know, you go and take on demonic spirits. You go in and take on it. In any of these things, you're joining yourself to harlot because you are the Lord's and you're bought with a price and you're supposed to be dwelling in His body. So when you step out that, join yourself to another, yet where it talks about you sin against your own body, is that you're sinning against yourself and you're putting yourself outside of Christ's body. Because it's not flawed.
Yeah, I do understand, follow what you're saying.
But I'm in just reading this in 19, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body.
I wouldn't know. I want to live like what you're saying, but when I read this,
I'll get complaints online. Let's say I'm talking to somebody who's United Pentecostal or something, and they're going, "Oh, well, you smoke, or you know, I saw you drink a Coors Light, or whatever."
They
you
managed to skip dead. Right over the joining of another spirit. Just missed that entirely out of this, and they want to talk about your body's temple, the Holy Ghost. You can't put all that stuff in it. That's violating.
What
exactly
is hung up on, Paul, is know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Okay.
So that's what I was saying. Like, if you read an amplified Bible, it'll kind of break it apart for you. Can you break that apart in a way that would be more clear?
Well, he was...
Well, we can.
He
go.
Was on. He was.
I mean,
on
I can the, go to Romans.
He was right there. I mean, your body.
Yeah, this body.
That body cannot be the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is
it's
not
cursed.
The temple.
Right.
It is cursed. The only body that wasn't cursed,
Christ,
was Jesus.
His physical body was not cursed.
I'll have to think about that a minute.
Well, I never saw corruption.
Okay, you know, in Romans 12, and I just want to go here so we can, this would help, I think this would help a little bit. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What do you choose to do with it?
With my body?
Right, and what I mean by that is, don't you know you dwell with what you do, you dwell and Christ Jesus, and you're supposed to be joined to His Spirit, which is our reasonable service. We are bought with a price. We're going to do whatever we have to do. We are going to be commanded by the Lord. You know, and it's talking about your body. It talks about you dwelling in Jesus' body by faith, not your own, not this fleshly body. That's not what it's talking about. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do. But that would be a tough point to win with somebody that was of a mind to think otherwise.
Okay, well then that's where you take them to. That's where you take them.
All right, I'm going to have to. Rick wants in on Skype.
Sweet.
And I don't know if I can get Skype. I don't know if I have enough bandwidth to do that. We'll try. All right, we're going to have to go to headphones.
Okay.
So, I will... I don't know why Skype isn't on, but I'm going to load it. Don't find it. Y'all need to say something.
All right. Well, I had a thought going, but then it left me. let's see here.
Where
was it?
Romans 12.
Well, yeah, I went to Romans, you know. Yeah, I went to Romans 12, but the point is, when you said, "Well, how do you do this?" I mean, look, you one listen to the Spirit, okay, and the Lord's going to show you how to minister. And what we can go is we can straightly go to Galatians and see that that's not the case. If they were right, handle not. If you want to go there, I mean, that's where you would go with this. Like, so how is this the case? This thing's a cursed thing. How do I just went to Romans 8? You cannot please God with this flesh. So how in the world, by you dressing yourself up as good or do this or do don't or any of those things, going to be something that makes you justified? By no means. No, or it defiles the body. No, it doesn't. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, that's where I would go with this. I mean, because you're going to take out all this scripture because this says that they are just refusing to understand what this says? Because this is right. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the scripture is line upon line, precept upon precept. Otherwise, you get incorrect ideas. Is that him coming up?
Kind of. I'm at a pause point because I want, you know, Rick is about to come up and, I believe, clarify some of this a lot better. So, praise God.
Ricky's still not up, so we can go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We were in, all right, so 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
So, all right, we're here.
Got it? There's Ricky.
We have Rick.
Give me the exact scripture you guys were in Corinthians again. You guys were in what, 1 Corinthians 6 somewhere?
1 Corinthians 6:19.
Okay, so this whole passage here, specifically when it's talking about, let's see, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be of one flesh. What's that talking about?
It's talking about the spiritual union that happens.
No. Don't go spiritual. What's it talking about?
It's talking about sexual fornication.
So that's right. It's talking about sex out of wedlock. Or, it's, you know, this is talking about fornication. Okay, yep. Just keep it simple, right?
Yep. Right.
So the context of this is talking about fornication. It's not talking about drunkenness or drugs or seeing a nasty movie. It's talking about, or, you know, zombies dying on the Baptist altar, whatever the heck you guys were talking about earlier. Yeah. But this is talking about fornication, correct?
Right.
So what is the spirit by which this is embellished to incorporate other things?
It's the same thing that the Galatians did, or the Pharisees.
It's legalisms. You know, let's just keep it plain and simple. Let's use small words here. It's legalism. Right?
Right.
Yep, okay, right. So you've got Paul dealing with the situation of fornication. When it becomes applied to all manner of other laundry list of things, that then turns this one thing that Paul's trying to deal with into legalism.
More than it is dealing with here.
It is dealing with fornication. It's what it's dealing with. What was the issue that they had in the Corinthian church to begin with? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's fornication between a man and his
mother-in-law or
stepmom or some. Yeah, I mean, it was dealing with a sexual issue, correct?
That's right.
Yep, that's right.
So if you follow then the context of this whole thing, Paul is trying to wrangle this problem down within this fellowship. And he's saying, don't you guys understand when you go screw around, you defile the body. And when it's talking about your body, if you look up the word your, it can be also singular. It can also be plural, as in the group, a body of people.
Right.
Now, when you then take the context of the rest of Scripture, and you start applying it, then there is only one conclusion that you can come to, and that is the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit, is not your physical flesh, because Paul says, in my flesh does what?
Dwells no good thing.
Right. So, therefore, if Paul says that in his flesh dwells no good thing, then is the Holy Spirit dwelling in his flesh?
No. Cannot be.
Okay, then. So when you start taking this, and you made a very interesting statement, Brad. You said someone that has a mind to believe a certain way, or it was along this way, they're hell bent to believe what they want to believe. You're not going to convince them. There's not even the advantage to trying to convince them. You're better to walk away and pray for them. Because if their mind is not open to see in context what this is talking about, as it relates to totality of Scripture, then you are wasting your time. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I think this is pretty good, Rick, because, you know, like you're saying,
what happens, and the cause of denominationalism to begin with is people reject portions of the word in favor for what they want to believe.
Yeah.
Okay? Pentecostal holiness want to believe that their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, because therefore they can justify their behavior, and it then makes them righteous or unrighteous. They have something by which they can measure their holiness. Right?
Yeah, all this stuff's rooted in pride if you start picking it apart.
We look at the Baptists with their eternal security. When I was growing up, it was called Once Saved, Always Saved, but they've prettied it up with a new name these days.
Yeah.
Okay, Once Saved, Always Saved. Well, you know, if you really want to believe that, you have to reject other pieces of Scripture. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the concept of I'm saved, really? You're standing in heaven with Christ? You guys were just talking not too long ago, I think it was Phil maybe, about he that endureth to the end. Well, if he that endureth to the end shall be saved, then I haven't endured to the end yet. So what you have is that if you have someone who is tunnel vision on a particular thing that disregards the totality of Scripture, the only thing you can do is try and point them to Scripture in a way that they can see that their perspective is flawed. Now, they'll receive that as acceptance of the truth of God's Word, or they're going to reject it. And I had to tell you, 95 times out of 100, they're going to reject it. Because it will take humility on their part to receive that.
I think that's pretty good, man, because if you do follow it down as a line of thought through this chapter and really the intent of the book itself, Corinthians, it makes perfect sense. And then what I understand you to be saying in 19, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Well, my body is, I mean, you could say that my body is a South Carolina fellowship. Right?
Absolutely. I think that's valid, yep.
Yeah. So you could read this, Paul saying, know you not that the church in Corinth is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You could probably plug that in okay. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And the thing is that if you dissect God's Word and reject the fullness of God's Word, you will always come out the other side in error, every single time.
Line upon line, precept upon precept, you got to take the Word of God in totality.
you have to look at it as a whole, and you have to maintain the integrity of God's character in the Word. So if you, if, you know, the, one of the things of our articles of faith, which I think is one of the critical differences, I have not seen it listed in any other articles of faith that I've read from other fellowships or organizations, is that for anything to be a doctrine, it has to be in two or more places, and they have to say the same thing. You know, how do you prevent error? Well, you examine what you think to the rest of God's Word, and if it lines up, it might be right. If it doesn't line up, you are definitely wrong. And that's where you can take a look at this scripture, and someone that would want to say, hey, my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, therefore I'm not going to, you know, have sugar or caffeine and or, you know, all these other things because I want my body to be, you know, good and acceptable. Well, goodness, if our body could be good and acceptable, Jesus wouldn't have had to die in the first place, which I think was the point Phil was trying to make a little earlier. You know, and I think you were struggling. Again, I don't know if you were really struggling or just playing devil's advocate with it, but
no, I don't struggle with the concept, Reggie. It's just sometimes I hit verses and it doesn't. I don't know how to answer somewhat within myself.
You know, we're online, but I'm not going to hold any punches. You have a propensity to latch on to your intellect as an authority. And your intellect gets you in trouble every time. You overthink it. You understand what I'm saying?
I think I understand what you're saying.
You're overthinking. Look, we all have our Achilles heel in our faith. And the Lord allows us to go through things in our lives to eliminate that as being that thing that always hangs us up. So, you know, when you,
I don't know if you can hear me.
What's that?
Can you repeat the last sentence?
I don't know if you can.
Technical glitch here.
I don't know what I said.
Oh. Well,
I'll try it back up.
It was all right. I mean, I'm not worried about getting raked over the coals online.
We all have a weakness in our faith.
Certainly.
Okay? It helps remind us we need Christ. It helps us remind us daily that, man, you give me 2 seconds and I am in left field. I almost used a colorful metaphor.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which would have simply proven my point. The thing is that you give us enough time, we're in left field. God is good. The Lord is good to us, allowing us to constantly have this stuff put in our face to remind us how much we need them. You know, you follow this whole chapter through, and you see that this thing, I don't know if it's before this or after this, Paul, I'm sure you'll know, but he gets into, you know, the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
And he's talking to them about, you know, you guys come and partake of the Lord's Supper, and, you know, some of you are dead because God's judgment fallen on you because of the way you've treated it. You know, these two books of the Church of Corinth, I mean, they had some serious, significant problems that are not that dissimilar from any charismatic church I've ever been to.
Yeah, really.
And so, I mean, he's dealing with a very specific, very, you know, purposed line of reasoning here to address a problem. And it's only pride and intellect and legalism that takes that specific purpose and reason and starts applying it for justification of holiness in other areas.
I got a TV now and I don't have to wear long sleeves or none of that stuff.
Well, if you going back to your thing with regards to the intellect, Brad, you know, I remember talking to a guy, and this guy is a friend of mine. I've known him for years. You know, I pray for him to really know the Lord in earnest. He, He's an expert in industry. You guys know him. I'm going to try and keep this as, you know, anonymous. But he's an expert in a particular industry. And one day we were talking, and he wanted to talk to me about the Bible. And he was saying, you know, this, that. And I said, look, man, we're gonna say he's a chemical engineer. And no, I'm not talking about Steve, obviously. But let's just say he's a chemical engineer. You know, I said, look, man, if I came to you and wanted to argue the finer points of chemical engineering, would I have any ground to stand on? And he said, no, not really. And I said, that's right. So why are you trying to argue with me about God's word? And his whole thing was that he had to understand it before he could believe it. And I told him, I said, look, the only way you'll ever understand it is you have to believe it first, because that's faith. And where our intellect hangs us up is we're always trying to make it understandable. Oh, you know, if I could just understand it, then I could grasp it. No, just believe it. If God said it, that's all you need.
Yeah. You're waiting for an argument?
Oh. Well, I'll make sure my mic didn't cut out.
No, you're coming through fine.
But that is, you know, if we that struggle with having to understand a thing to believe it. Well, first of all, will your carnal mind ever understand the spiritual things of God?
No.
No.
It's enemy of God. It's an enemy.
It's just, you know, you are waiting for a thing that will never happen. Now, you can understand it in the spirit, and your spiritual mind, the mind we're supposed to put on, the mind of Christ, it understands perfectly the spiritual things of God. That's why when somebody who is walking in the Spirit can look at a circumstance, they have a different perspective, they can look at the things going on around them, they can see opportunity out of chaos. Why can they do all that? One, they're walking in the mind of Christ, and two, they have a track record and they have a faith and security in God. It's another thing Phil was talking about. I don't know if it was with the sermon or here, but the point is that, you know, now when Phil, when he came to my house before he was married to Hope, you know, and then he got married to Hope, they had no place to live. Boy, you're talking about a guy who really had his ducks in a row, right? So, you know, he shows up, and I remember Phil, I remember sitting in the office with Phil as we're going to buy a trailer. I don't know that I've seen somebody squirm so much about spending some money. It was unbelievable. Because he was certain they were going to screw him. They were just going to screw him. Does this? Because they were going to screw me. Just going to screw me. And you know, he was. You know, here I am. I'm chuckling. You know, I'm laughing because I could just see the Lord's hand moving in all these things. But Phil didn't have that perspective yet. Now, when he hits a bump in the road, you know, I'm not going to say Phil's all, you know, sunshine and smiles. But the thing is that he has a track record now of knowing God's there for him. Amen, Phil?
Amen.
And when he hits those bumps in the road, yeah, right, so he may, you know, may jump around a little bit, but he knows God is there for him. He has a track record to rely on, that he doesn't have to understand it. He doesn't have to know all the nuances. He doesn't have to have somebody read it to him out of the amplified explanation of the situation going on. He can just believe God. And he knows God loves him. And he knows God's not a jerk. If we really grasp hold of just these simple principles, our lives would be that much more simple. God loves you. He died for you. You know, him who gave his only, you know, gave his only son, do you think he's going to hold back all this other stuff? In him is light. There's no darkness at all. I mean, yeah, you know, he wants you to be yay and amen towards us. I mean, goodness, this is a father who spared not his own life for the chance you might believe. I mean, just think of that for a minute. That's the God we serve. And when we draw back to our intellect and try and dissect all this stuff in our own understanding, we're really just rejecting all that he did. And that's, we got to get out of that carnal mind and into faith and belief and trust and the knowledge in our gut that God is good. Now and then this stuff becomes, oh, this is pretty simple. Don't go screw around. Gotcha. Let's move on. You know, in essence, isn't that what this passage is saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to, I remember the old church I went to, man. Singles church. You know, third of the cars still be in the parking lot the next morning.
Yeah. Some people. When Moses came off the mountain, he said, I Jewed him down to 10, but adultery's still in, guys.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not difficult. Hey, you guys, don't screw around. And he deals with this. Look, if you can't contain, get married. You know, do it. Do it right if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But God help you when you do, because it ain't going to be. It may not be all happy smiles and roses either.
What?
That's my paraphrase, but I mean that's essentially what he says. Hey, man, if you cannot get married, don't. But if you have to, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to struggle because you know, right now you think it's hard for you to just keep your mind on God. Get married and see what it's like.
Amen.
I'm just sitting here minding my own darn business.
I can amen. I'm the only one in a group that ain't married.
So, you know, it's our intellect that gets in the way and takes the simple things of God and makes it so complicated, you know. An IRS tax attorney won't understand it.
Oh, my gosh. I think the head of the IRS had to hire a CPA to do his taxes.
I'll let you guys get back to it. I hope that was helpful.
Hey, man, I appreciate you Skyping in. It really was. Thanks a lot, Ricky. It's nice to talk to you.
Yep. God bless, guys. I'm going to hang up and sit back here and listen.
God bless.
God bless, Ricky.
Yeah, we're going to.
Are we afraid of it?
We're not going to be able to hear ourselves if we don't take off the headphones. Okay. So. It is. Always good. Always good to have a.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Another spiritual brain to pick in the mix.
Amen. The only thing was I missed.
You missed
70%, man. I know. I was like, man. I think I'm just going to walk over and listen.
Awesome.
I'm sure it was.
We have. Kind of my point in the beginning about The Walking Dead was the mischaracterization of how mean they presented God as. I mean, and he didn't answer any of their prayers. It's like, so he's just a real hateful dirtbag. And that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says he loved us. He spared not his only son just for the chance that we might believe. How, you know, and these people don't. These people just don't. They don't know who God is. They don't know how good he is.
Amen. You know, it's funny. One of the things that actually Rick mentioned about being married and then the distraction, how Paul talks about that in the Corinthians about. That being distracted, you think you seek the things of the world because you're trying to please the wife and the wife the husband, and you know it's distracting. I would that you be as I am,
yeah.
Single, focused on you, Lord. And but he says, you know, I write this is me writing this. You know, I looked at that, and that was one of the truthisms that we seen when we were watching The Walking Dead. I mean, that's one of those things that we saw. I mean, that was kind of a neat thing to me. It was like, it's the same thing. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, if their focus is right, yeah. That's exactly what Rick was just saying, was it not? No, yeah, the guy comes back and he's like, all I could think was you, and these guys are counting on me, and I didn't want to die because I didn't want to hurt you. And exactly. That's exact. I mean, it's the same concern about his own life, how it's going to affect somebody close to them and their family, not concerning about the body and what it needed. And they needed his backup. People shooting at him. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Paul was saying. I said, there's the truth. I mean, and clearly, like Paul was discussing, I mean, clearly this show portrays God as mean. They don't have a clue about who God is.
So if there's something bad about the show, could have been that church could have been held guilty too. You don't know. You got it still hanging.
You know, so I mean, but that's what you know when you know Rick is talking about going into the Spirit. It's yea and amen. It's by faith. God said it. We believe it. And that's why in the perspective in the chaos, as he was talking about, a guy can see, you know, everybody worshiping these idols, and Paul sees that unknown God and says, "Oh, here's opportunity. Here's opportunity." And that's how it is with the Lord. And he's good. Yeah. And that's his mind. And it's simple.
It's so simple that we want to complicate it by making little passages in Scripture like this all about other things.
Yeah.
So yeah. We can look good and justify ourselves in front of people.
Or more or less look like an idiot.
Which is another whole spiritual issue. It's all about me.
Right.
So, yeah. 'Tis what it is. I think we've about exhausted this one.
I need to listen to the tape. I want to listen to what he was saying.
When I've
saying,
gone back
really
to the
do.
Walking Dead and analogy I'm, again, it's second time in the show. We're done. We're done.
Yeah. Look, God bless everybody. Rick, thanks for coming up. I'm going to come go back and listen to it.
Yep. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you next time. God bless you.